Okay, recording with wind and all.
With wind and all.
Wind and all.
Speaking of wind, I cannot wait to get back in a car on a racetrack.
Wind through your
hair. The little bit.
The facial hairs, a little sign, a little buffeting. We can fix a buffeting quarter glass modifications.
Well, I was actually looking into that. The NASCAR, because they run windows down. Yep. And I was thinking, I know once you get to moving to a certain speed, it creates an air pocket inside the car and the wind basically goes around it. But it still creates drag.
Yes, you still vent through.
Well, NASCAR, their B pillars are curved inward. Uh-huh. And that creates a smooth drag out and around the car versus the... So it's like, I can 3D print something that goes right down the side of that, snaps in there, and I'm done. Because my car's not getting windows and glass anyways.
3D printing has revolutionized motorsports.
Well, mine will print 15 inches tall, so I think that's tall enough to...
Well, it's like all the guys printing their own fucking canaries, you know?
The canards. Yeah.
Call them canaries. It's funny. I picked it up from Butler.
Nice.
Just one of those weird terminology things. You say canaries, people look at you like, what?
Speaking of which, canards and Pikes Peak, you can't run any wider than the tires, so you basically can't run them at all.
Well, it depends on what your offset. If you're running 50 millimeter spacers like I am, push the fucking wheels out.
Okay, in open class, sure.
Yeah, open class.
But
tires,
tires covered classes.
Speaking of Pikes Peak rule, there's no limit on spacers, there's no limit on tire or rim width. So
there's
you can
no
push
limit
it out.
Width,
push it out as far as it wants a tire.
And your wings don't go wider than your tires.
Yep. Which, absolutely. There's so many ways to skin that raccoon, it's ridiculous.
And see, global time attack rules are you can go 14 inches wider than the widest point of the car, not including the mirror.
14 inches overall, 7 inches per side?
No, per side, 14 per side.
Okay, no passing that guy.
No.
Like, geez.
Well, I mean, if it's just time attack, it is
that's
what
a car
it is.
And a half a lane.
Yeah, and it's kind of stupid at that point, and that's in limited class. Unlimited.
Well, but think about running that car on Pikes Peak. Look at how far off the apex you'd be.
To just turn and not hit the wall? Yeah.
Plus, you're also making that's naturally going to be a low point on the car, right? You're going to want that arrow down low. Well, as you come to those corners and banking, like you look at the sacrificial plastic we had on Apexo set.
Lost
all that stuff was just ground off.
Yeah.
I mean, the rear diffuser hangs, what, 3 feet behind the car, 2.5 feet behind the car? And it's probably 5 inches, 6 inches off the ground where it's self-clearance to.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know the back of it is very warm.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Because those steep...
Yeah, the uphill. So, they say the grade is 10%, okay? 10% doesn't seem like much, but when you put any G-load on a car coming through the corner...
Most of those hairpins have, like, a dip on the inside.
Uh-huh. If you're on that dip...
They're, like, out, drop down, lift up, like... Just driving it in a normal car, you felt it. So my thought was, we can only do so much with the splitter, we can only do so much with the rear wing, and I do want to run global time attack and our local time attack, stuff like that. So we do as best as we can with the floor, because I know the floor matters a whole lot.
Yep, floor matters more than anybody gives it credit for.
So, and global time attack is 10 inches forward, 10 inches behind. Pike's Peak is 12 and 12. So... It's close.
Yep.
I think it'll be close enough to be competitive as long as the car is good. Yeah.
Well, car's good, driver's good. Your practice, your mental state, like weather. There's a lot of factors. The mountain will decide.
As far as the mountain goes, but the thing is, I can build it to exact spec for the mountain, and I still want to be competitive in GTA. I don't want to have to swap the splitter. I don't want to have to swap the wing.
No, that's what my car was. And mine was a little different. So, like yours, you're building it with rule sets in mind. Mine, I said, I'm building the cage beyond what anybody would ever require. And I'm putting the biggest motor I can in it. And I'm going to have a good time. And I don't care where I land in the rules. I don't care what class. I'm going to go out there. Car's going to be quick. I'm going to be smiling and laughing when we're done. That's all that matters. Like, yeah, winning a $7 trophy at the end of the day is pretty cool. But it's not a watch.
Right.
You know, it's not $10,000. It's not,
that was my original intent was, because I was going to build it for limited class in GTA, because it's pretty much open minus tires.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yep.
So, but then after being at the mountain, I'm like, I want to, obviously, nobody's going to compete with a $7 million team unless you have a $7 million team.
But they say it was only $3 million. I mean, come on.
There were
$4 million
budget that turned into an extra $3 million,
yeah,
I think is where that is. But So, and with Ford, there's no means to an end. They can literally just keep doing what they want to make it better. We don't have that kind of budget. But my thought is just running a class that at least can get numbers that matter, because exhibition, the numbers don't matter.
Yeah.
So you can, I think you, based on what I read, you can just throw whatever you want in that thing.
Exhibition is based on the committee's belief that it would be entertaining to the fans.
Yeah. And while that's all cool and all,
it's only so cool.
Right. And I would like to compete in a class that's semi-competitive. In quote competitive, since you can't see my hands.
Yeah, in quotes. Air quotes.
I mean, that Alpha is an amazing car. It's a beautiful car. Third overall.
Did you watch them this weekend at F1? I know it's not the same team, but it's
right.
It's Alpine. How do you want to say it? Okay.
I said Alpha. Alpine. I'm sorry.
They fucking got their asses handed to them this weekend at F1. And it's like, I will say this. I think they were one of the best dressed, best managed, friendliest teams. You never saw them running around chaotic. You never saw them in a hurry. Like, they were ready.
A couple hundred thousand dollar team compared to a multi-million dollar team. Every million matters.
Yeah.
And you got Red Bull and Mercedes. I mean, look at Mercedes. Look at Mercedes. They're throwing everything they can at
and getting their asses kicked.
They are.
They didn't have Hamilton, they would suck. And Hamilton sucks. I don't like
him. Well, Russell's better.
He got talent.
I think Russell's better.
I don't care.
Russell's more adaptable for sure.
Yeah.
Because he got in that car that Hamilton couldn't drive and drove it pretty well. And then Hamilton just complained about it. I mean, you look at Max, dude. He's so far out.
Yes.
As a driver.
Superhuman.
He is an amazing driver. And he's getting to the point to where he's maturing. And he just drives now versus he's not so wild.
So was it 2 weekends ago? Whatever. I don't remember the track. But second to last lap of the race, comes in, changes to softs just so he can set fast lap, and pulls out. I was like, that is a cocky move to pull out and set. Fuck, he did it. Like,
yeah.
Jesus, man.
Yeah, he did.
And took it away from his teammate. You know? It's like,
As much as I think he is being bored, because he's kind of leading his own race out there, I think he's competing with himself.
At least for the first like 6 laps, he had competition.
Yeah, McLaren actually did something, which was nice to see, because Lando deserves it. I think he's a phenomenal driver, and he seems like a good kid.
And he was able to drive elbows out and keep Hamilton back. I like that a lot.
And overall, when it was all said and done, I think it was only a 6-second gap.
Yeah, but there was a gap. So.
Yeah, but that's the first time all season somebody's been within like 20-30 seconds.
Yeah.
And maybe Max slowed it down a little bit. Maybe he's like, eh. I mean, at no point during that race was Max ever on the edge.
No.
Well, that first lap, and a lot of people were like, McLaren got the jump. I think Max let him by.
Surrendered, said here.
No, I think Max was like, I'm going to have fun for a couple laps. Wouldn't you?
Let me show you.
If every time you go out there, you just take off and run away.
Yeah, like you know you've got the capability, but on the same token, there's points for every lap, right? There's dollars for every lap, basically, is what I would say. You want to be in the front.
I mean, he definitely pushed Lando, and it was a fun 5 laps to watch. You could tell they were friggin' just hanging it out there. And then when he got back in the lead, everything kind of relaxed.
Gone. He disappeared. They see on the motorcycles is grab a gear and disappear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like downshift and gone. So.
But I've been thinking about trying to figure out how to watch other car racing, because
the more you watch, the better you are. Come on, you can come join.
No.
Kim's here. She wants to be a part of the podcast.
F1's
come on.
Boring.
Huh?
F1's boring.
F1 is challenging. Here comes Butler.
And Quinn.
And Quinn. We don't want Quinn on the podcast.
F1's challenging on what level?
F1 is challenging on the engineering side.
Oh, I agree 100%.
Engineering side, it is next level, and I think they still don't share enough with us. What's the show on Netflix? It does
drive
a better...
Drive
and Survive. Butler's here. Fucking horn blows, and so does the driver. It shows enough behind the scenes, I think, to give some insight into the effort that goes into making those cars as quick as they are. But you could do a whole series just on the engineering side, the change. Look at McLaren's change from 1 week difference to what they actually are now is just unreal.
Toto complaining about the McLaren, not complaining necessarily, but he's like, the McLaren looks just like the Red Bull. We tried that and it didn't work. What? So we got to go back to looking like the Red Bull again, basically.
Yep, understood. That's how that works. You've got to mimic those that are in front.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. I'm on a podcast. What the fuck are you doing? Yes and no. It's an old podcast. We called Quinn out for coming in and snickering. You can send her emails and hate mail. I'll post it on a link. Got you. Your email's still the same.
When do we get to drive the Apex set on at MSR?
Actually, Saturday next weekend, there is a Red Meat Race Fuel. Well, I call it Red Meat Race Fuel. It's a Tony Jacobs.
Okay.
Stress Relief Day.
Yeah, I have, I'm on his email group.
Yeah, so the Saturday, I would like to take it out, play. Paul has done some tuning. We should probably do a podcast just with Paul talking about tuning. He'll want to tell you that he didn't know how to tune. But he's learning and playing and doing a lot of things. Like every day this week, he's been somewhere tuning something. So that's advancing. That's getting better. Even to playing with some OBD1 stuff on the BMW today. It was nice to see that we can play with some of the older stuff like that.
Standalone stuff's fun. It's easy.
Standalone stuff's going to be amazing. There's a lot left to do the Apexo set. I did change the tires and put the skinnies on it. Even loading it in the trailer, it was spinning the tires on the wood. I was like, what the hell? But it's in there and it's parked.
Skinny slicks?
No, street tires. Because I wouldn't leave those ones in the trailer, they get hot. All the slicks are inside to be covered up.
Gotcha.
Butler's over here showing his dick. All the time, dude. Dick's out.
Tinier than I thought it would be.
I just want to drive something.
It smells like bacon.
I'm going to go inside. Let's go, Quinn.
I don't know. My car will be, well, probably a week and a half before I get it over here. 2 weeks or so. I'd say 2 weeks. Because I definitely want to build my sim cockpit during the middle of this, too.
You've got parts for the sim already.
I got all my parts. The rest of my monitors actually should be at my house. So I've wanted a good rig for years, dude. And finally, I'm able to afford it. So it's like, I'm going to buy one.
So talk to me, not so much about the rig, but the simulator that you got for Pikes Peak. And I say this because being sponsored by Gran Turismo, you think Gran Turismo has the best shit out there for Pikes Peak.
You would think.
My understanding is that's not the case.
From what I could find, the track is not on the game, but the Escudo Pikes Peak car is on the game. That's the only information I could find. And PS5, it's great. I'm not knocking consoles. I mean, I've played Xbox forever, but
computers,
they're not Sims, right? So, and the only thing I could find that really has Pikes Peak on it is Assetto Corsa. You can,
which is what Andre was using.
Was that what he was using?
Yeah.
You can do the Pikes Peak mod, download the Pikes Peak track, import it into the folder that it's supposed to go into, and it plays really well. Of course, you can add a ton of cool cars too, which I haven't played around with any of that yet, but I will. I just wanted that the Logitech just ain't cutting it. 2 Newton meters of feedback is not enough. Like you barely feel it. So, but yeah, Assetto Corsa is the only one I could find, which cost me like a whole $6-$8, something like that.
Wow,
it's crazy how cheap they are, and the mods are free.
So, what car were you driving on it? And talk to me about what it looked like. Compared to, and I say it because we were just there 5 weeks ago.
I mean, obviously, it's the best you can tell, right? I don't remember the whole thing driving up at the I did. But I went back and watched some onboards compared to driving it. Because I drove it enough to where, I'm not going to say I have the bottom section memorized, but I have the bad parts of the bottom section memorized.
Right, which is what most people do.
Right.
12 corners, what most people say you have to memorize to run the 156. Yeah.
But what I can say, driving it in real life, there's a lot more visibility than in game. But, of course, I'm playing on a 42-inch TV screen, not not gaming monitors, where I have a full wraparound, where I have better visual and better view. So we'll see how that goes too once all that's set up. But man, if you look at the zigzag map compared to the real zigzag map, and it's freaking identical as best you can tell. And there's one turn that I don't remember while being there, and that's because we were going slow. I found in the game, I don't know if this is accurate in real life, every guardrail is a hairpin except the second guardrail. It's a 90 degree sweeping-ish turn. So you have to slow down, but you don't have to slow down as much. And there's a turn almost at the top that is blind as crap that doesn't seem like it's going
to
cut back
to the left.
So hard.
That's cog cut, I bet.
You go off into a hole. It's not an off the mountain one. It's into a hole.
So is that Boulder Park?
Maybe. But I went into that freaking hole, drove out of that hole, which took me a minute because the car's just spinning tires up the hole. And when I tell you, I still did 10:36 or something like that. It's like if I wouldn't have missed that turn, it would have been sub 10
really, really
easily.
Really fucking good run. And what car was that in?
That was in a Tatus. T-A-T-U-U-S is what it's called. It's an open wheel, like F2, F3 style car.
Okay.
I mean, it's still super fast, but I chose it because with a wheel that has no feedback, you can predict the car if the car's good. So, but every time I would go off even a little bit, I'd hit the restart button. That way I remembered exactly where I went off. That way next time I'd remember it. And then I'd get a little further. And once I got a little further, if I went off, restart. That way every time I'd get to that point, I'd remember where I was when I went off. I didn't restart when I was at the top because I was almost done.
You're there.
It's like I'm driving out of the hole. I don't freaking care.
Made it this far, getting out.
There is one turn, and I don't remember seeing the trolley in real life, but in the game, there's a trolley parked on the hill.
That's cog cut.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a 180 there.
Yeah.
So I remember that.
So I was talking to you about that one. So that's where Lonnie Unser went off.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Tesla, Cal, I can't remember his name right now. Tesla guy went off, and Lamborghini rolled their Lamborghini there. 2022. So three cars went off there. It's changed. There's an extension of smooth asphalt now going into it. And both Unser and then Blake's the one that drives the Tesla, came in and got on their brakes late. Well, it's new asphalt, so it's a little oily. Got on it late and just slid right through. Lonnie actually made it over cog cut. The Lamborghini, when it hit cog cut, it rolled, so the cog rail. So instead of train tracks, it's one rail with serrated teeth in it. Basically, that's how the train comes up.
Right.
It rolls in those gears. And that's why it's called cog rail. That's when you're seeing the cog rail in the game. The only place it crosses is right there.
Well, they have the train parked there.
That's cool.
The game.
That's good.
Well, it's a
visual
marker,
to
right?
let you know what
so
it
if
is.
So if it's there in real life, it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, it's not there in real life because they'd have plowed into the damn side of it.
Yeah.
So bad.
But when I'm coming up the hill now, I'm like, oh, there's that on the brakes. 180.
Yeah.
So, and of course, visual markers are not going to be the same in the game as they are in real life.
So do they have the hay bales that they put up for the race day?
They have some stuff. It's not like it was on race day, but I mean, and obviously the RV, the one RV that's on the left and the couple people on the right, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be multiple. And
except I can tell you
that
there are Linda and her husband Barry have been working in the same corner of Pikes Peak for 33 years. The same husband and wife team managing the same corner with their own porta potty. They're there for the 5-6 hours a day, every day of testing. And they're there for race day every year and have been for 32, 33 years. I mean, it's just crazy. Sit down and have a bunch of beers with them, and they were talking about how back in the 70s, they used to, as volunteers, they used to hitchhike to the mountain, and then they would sneak around the woods behind the gates to get in to go volunteer to race. Like, you couldn't even get in as a volunteer back then.
Nice.
But they would all, as she said, when we were hippies and smoking a lot of funny stuff, this is what we'd do. It's just neat people. It's cool to be around.
That's funny. That's cool.
To sit down and have conversation with people that have been around that long doing that same stuff. And to me, it's a concern of how do we replace that. Being involved in Pikes Peak in the small capacity that I am, you get somebody who's been there 32, 33 years. When they're gone, how do you replace that? How do you hand down that knowledge of what they know and how they've made it work? Like, think about what the quality of the radio communication was in the 70s compared to today. And we still have problems today, but they got it done then. It's unreal. It's very unreal.
Yeah. You can't write all that experience in a book.
So I'll ask you a question that will get Butler involved in this conversation, maybe. If he wants to talk. San Pedro Mártir. Happens in October.
Which is what?
19-mile hill climb. Longest hill climb in the world.
Oh, that's the one you told me about.
No, it's not. North America.
Oh, really? What's longer? I thought you said longest.
That's how they sell it. You think if it was the longest in the world that Dickweed wouldn't miss out on that fact?
Right.
So it's got to be something longer. I just don't know what it is.
Okay.
That's the one up north, right?
No, it's so go to San Diego, go south about 3.5 hours, take a left.
Oh, so that's Mexico.
Baja.
What was the one you were telling me
Baja,
about?
Baja, Mexico.
That was up north.
And Mount Washington. I got pictures of Mount Washington for us to look at and study. We've got Houston native Brian, who now lives up there. He's 45 minutes from the track. So I'm interested in making a flight up there just to go out and recon and take a look at the mountain and say, hey, this is something we want to do. It's a long haul. It's longer than Pikes Peak.
Yeah.
But it could be amazing. It's another small low-key style event. There's one on the East Coast. Pennsylvania Hill Climb Association.
A little more free to get into, kind of. Not free, but easier to get into.
Easier to get into, yeah. No, they'll take your money, show up. They'll take your money.
Yeah.
But
that's basically what I'm getting at.
Appalachian Hill Climb Association, Pennsylvania Hill Climb Association. They're in their peak season right now. I think they've got 7 events. But they've got one that is a 3-mile run, 2.5-3-mile run, and there's another entrance road. So you run it, come back around, run it again. They're getting 9 to 12 runs. And I'm like,
That's freaking awesome.
That's worth it to me. Like,
and where is that?
It's 1,300 miles away.
It's a motorcycle thing.
Pennsylvania.
It's a motorcycle thing, but they should tell them about the Tourist Cup.
And Tourist Cup's pretty cool. Tourist Cup's happened once already, will happen again. So basically, the old road came through and made this kind of V like 50 years ago, and it was their interstate, like sketchy 2-lane interstate.
Right.
Well, now they put in this 8-lane interstate here, and it took out this little triangle. Well, Pedro uses a triangle and the outer lanes of this. So you're running this triangle, which is 9 miles, 8 miles. It's not long. You're doing like 3.5-4 minutes. High speed.
You're going to be honest.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
High speed. He got buzzed by an STI when he was in the Miata, and you were doing 9,500. 95 to 100.
That's all I wanted to go.
STI.
They wanted to go faster.
STI buses by him like 130. Sucks him off the road.
I mean, as fast as I dared. They were daring.
They were more daring. And he's like splitting lanes at this point, right? Because there's debris. So that section of road doesn't get used a lot just by the locals.
Well, that was when it washed out.
The
hurricane went through there. The typhoon went there and washed out the road. And they just pushed all the shit off the road.
So the road was, went through it. It was a dust cloud.
So it was full of, it wasn't muddy, but it's still... Like all of the pavement was still filled in with mud.
Silt,
you know?
Right.
Like, and when you got through it, it was dust.
Huge
everywhere.
Cloud behind
you. And it was slippery as shit when you're cruising through there.
He's in the middle lane.
Hour, you know?
Subaru's dropping left wheel off oncoming lane.
I didn't see him.
To go past him.
Like, hello, Subaru. Woo!
And here's the thing. There were not even trophies for this event. Okay? Like, this is go out here. It's exhibition. Let's go have a good time. And it's like, sometimes you have to, limit your risk, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Limit your risk exposure.
Navigator too, so there's that. And I have terrible memory, so.
It's a memory.
Isn't it just a triangle? Or is there a zigzag?
No, there's all kinds of fucking zigzags and ups and downs and blind corners.
You should look it up. It does take, you watch Eric run it, it takes, 3 minutes.
Yeah, Eric's running it, 3 minutes. They got one Isle of Man TT.
An hour in it,
and he shows up to race it. He broke his collarbone. Yeah, he broke it there, didn't he? Yep, he crashed there.
No, Grand Pedro he crashed it.
Was it San Pedro? Oh, it was, because it was day one. Yeah, so he crashed at San Pedro after that and broke a collarbone. He's like, oh, it's nothing, mate. Like, he's one of those English guys. He's got balls as big as my head. Like, it's crazy. But yeah, you should look up Eric. Just do Eric, E-R-I-K.
Lindauer.
How do you say it?
Eric Lindauer.
Lindauer. Just do Eric and Tecate.
All you have to look up is...
Tourist Cup, Eric.
Tourist Cup, Baja. And it's like...
It shows up. And it... Watch it on the big screen. It's on a bike. They are fucking moving quickly, very quickly.
Hmm.
And he's only on a 700, 600. He was on one of the smaller bikes this last year, too. But it doesn't matter for him. He's got no fear. There's people on thousands running slower than him. It's just like, how is this possible?
The one that won San Pedro was a freaking street bike. The blinkers, lights, everything. Beat everybody. Right. Beat all the race bikes.
He even had the saddlebags on.
Yeah, he took the saddlebags off, I think.
No.
He didn't?
I don't think he did. I think that him on there showing off.
Street bike.
That's funny.
Like a BMW street bike. Just.
He has 1,200, but man, he put the schooling on people. But he's down there, what, like 2 times a month, 3 times a month running that road, he said?
I don't know.
He drives it a lot.
He lives in San Diego and just goes off and does shit.
Jumps off the border, go play. Because if you're okay handing out a couple bribes along the way, like you get stopped, dude, you make it down there an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, I bet. Not from San Diego, but once you cross the border, you can get there pretty quick.
California sucks.
They'd fucking like commies.
55 miles an hour with the trailer.
Get into Mexico. They don't care. Go.
56. 55. They're just waiting for you to
What all you got to take to get your car across the border?
Title. Title's all you need.
Get him in touch with Raymond.
Unless you're Raymond, you don't need title, right? Raymond?
Just show up.
We should have invited Raymond over for this.
But you try it like...
Try it like 7-8 times.
Try 7-8 times. Eventually, they'll be like, fuck.
Bring Gabe with you. No, we left that at home. No. Not going to work.
We did it.
Go back, try again. Unreal.
So, all right, is Lexan and fuel cells out for 25? Is that what you're saying?
There's discussion going on about a lot of things inside of Pikes Peak rules and the evolution of motorsports in general. And directions, there's conversations, and I wouldn't promise anything, but there's things happening. So be ready, watch your rule sets, speak your opinions. Like, I still kind of think that you should, if you're interested in doing Pikes Peak in 2025, you should apply in 2024. Even if you're denied, it gets your name in front of people. And
what happens if I'm not?
If you're not, then you get your shit ready and you go. Challenges, man. It's life. Hit it square in the teeth and go.
My goal is to have the car running and driving and then within the next 3 months, which I don't think is too much to ask for.
What you know about the BMW, it should be fine. If I get the cage knocked out.
You get the cage knocked out. I'll build the engine while you're doing the cage, which that won't take me long. I get the car back, put the engine back in it, wire the whole thing.
So my question is, what about the all-wheel drive system? That's all standard BMW stuff, nothing crazy.
It's all standard BMW stuff. As long as I have the ABS module, it'll all talk.
It'll all work.
The hardest thing I'm going to have to do is machine a spot for the ABS sensor to go into the rear trailing arm.
Okay.
That's the hardest
thing. Into the trailing arm. Shouldn't that be going to a Hall Effect wheel, though?
It's on the back of the bearing. Also, E-Series, I can't say E-Series because they're all E-Series till now, right?
Yeah.
E90, 92.
Yep.
Rear wheel bearings are the same outer diameter, width, and inner diameter as an E46 wheel bearing. But they have the proper reluctor ring.
Yeah.
That works with the F-Series
Challenges.
Cars. Yeah. So all I have to do is get an E90 rear wheel bearing, press that in, figure out where the ABS sensor needs to land.
Mount that.
Right.
3D
mount
print
that
bitch first.
Nah.
Then CNC print it. Done.
Well, no, we'll have to drill a hole.
Yeah.
To go right against the back of the bearing. Yeah. Because it literally has to split the CV and the bearing. So that it's going to have to go through the trailing arm.
And how do you
in
adjust
the
exact for
depth? Spot.
Just threads?
As far as depth goes, worst case, yeah, we could print a spacer ring or something like that. But the only thing is, if it's not long enough, then what? But
don't get a good signal.
They're pretty long. So, it's just got to be basically almost touching the ABS ring that's in the wheel bearing. But
speaking of that, that's the next big thing I'm into your assistance tackling on my car is what I'll call road race traction control, which is that RPM
over time
increase.
Right.
Because that would save the rear tires at Pikes Peak International Raceway. He roasted him coming out of a couple corners. That's why the rear is
going
up.
You need the GPS signal for that, don't you?
Yep.
Okay.
So I'm working on all that. It's coming.
RPM over time.
RPM over time.
Something like that.
No, it's just RPM over time. There's no speed relationship. Because it's how...
Can we turn it on and off based on speed?
So basically you can set it to where, let's just say, I don't want it to go from 1,000 to 1,500 RPMs in less than 2 milliseconds.
Right.
It does at 1.5, it's going to dial it back. That's how you set it up.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And I remember looking at it that way. But let's say you only want it to do that...
Above 3,000 RPM. Yeah.
No, above or below 50 miles an hour.
Yep. You can set it up that way, too.
Because if my car is sideways going through a turn and I need
I'm okay with it. Yep.
I don't need it to drive.
Don't need it to correct.
I need it.
That's the thing. This is... To me, this is more road race friendly than all the other traction controls I've ever played with. So I think this is something that ECU Masters has that I'm sure other software has it. I've just never played with it.
Yeah.
And in reading through this and understanding a little bit more, it's like, holy crap, this is what I need for road course. This is what I need for hill climb.
Yeah.
You know, I need the slip angle.
It really would be good for lower speeds. Because even if the car goes to step out at 25 miles an hour, if it cuts throttle, it's just going to stop.
Yeah.
It's not going to loop out. But at 60 miles an hour, if it cuts throttle...
Bad shit.
That might be looping out, going off the mountain backwards kind of thing. I don't know. Growing up riding motocross, it's always been when in doubt, throttle out. And I've applied
that
to
that
a
way
car.
In rear wheel drive,
and
too.
Every time, it has worked out in my favor.
It works out okay, unless you're in a Porsche.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you've checked up. It's too late. Like, yeah. Game over. You lose.
Yeah, the rear and mid-engine stuff is a little different. I do know that, but I don't have any experience with it, so I can't say. I have experience with looping out my NSX.
We don't want to talk about that.
A long time ago.
It things
stepped
have
out. I lifted, and it
came around.
Snapped. Yeah. Yep.
Did what it's supposed to do. Well, it does what it does. Not
it does what it
do.
Does, yeah. But okay. If we were in an M3, it would have been just to keep the throttle on the floor and steer into it. But
which is always fun.
Definitely is fun.
So working on a manual for the Tahoe.
Yeah, you told me about that.
That is going to be amazing.
You found the throttle or the clutch pedal assembly?
Yeah.
Because they offered it in Mexico, right?
Uh-huh. So I'm going to buy, the plan is to buy a couple of them and then replicate what the factory was building and start selling that as a kit. So T56 swapped into a 2010
Tahoe. Oh, dude, you'll
Tahoe.
Sell a ton of those to Pasadena.
Dude, you know how much fun that's going to be with a manual? Like, you're going to pick up like 75 wheel over that damn automatic.
Oh, well, nothing, I mean.
All day long.
406 is garbage.
Yeah. 5.3, throw a turbo on it. Fuck, 600, 700 horse all day long. And it will never blow up. Well, it will blow up, but not
immediately. I say 256 is something that heavy making that much power. Oh, no. You better be careful on how you shift.
I don't think I will turbo that one for a while. I think I'll put the manual in it. Wife's going to drive it for a while. It's going to be amazing. That's what I think.
Big old freaking...
Big Ed Denny Roth.
The only problem is the throw's long enough already. The longer you make that thing, you got to have the guy in the back seat finish the throw.
That could happen too. Okay, 33 minutes. Scott, did you have anything else?
What?
To say.
About what?
Who knows? San Pedro?
No, I don't like it.
This year?
No, I don't like this year either.
Tecate? Bradley, anything else?
Good.
This weekend is Champ at MSR. We will be down there Friday. We'll be there Saturday. I'll be there Sunday. Not racing, but just helping out a couple teams. If you see us, say hello. If you're not going to be there, figure out how you can get there. It is the next step from Lemons and WRL is to get into Champ. Traveling on the series and actually paying out money is my understanding too. So something to be a part of. Check into it. We will talk with you all soon.